when she touched the hem of his clothes. That's just one of the stories that everybody knows. Oh, I know the facts, but I'd love to feel what the blind man felt when his eyes were healed. He went running through the streets to share.
I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread, to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
I wish I could have seen the stone that went a-rolling away when they looked inside the door to where the grave clothes lay. I didn't see, but I believe that he'd have seen it in the air. And I really wish I could have been there.
He commanded Lazarus to walk right out of his grave, and then a Galilean storm, he started coming the waves. I wanna feel that breeze blowing on my face. I wanna know the smell, I wanna taste the taste, just a reading that it couldn't compare.
I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread, to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
I wish I could have seen the stone that went a-rolling away when they looked inside the door to where the grave clothes lay. I didn't see, but I believe that he has seen it in the air. And I really wish I could have been there.
I wish I could have been
there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread, and see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
Chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8, we'll begin reading with verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. I feel like the Lord's given me a sermon this morning that is just kind of out of this world. Just wonderful idea to think about. You know, the Bible is just so full of truth. I lately, as never before, I don't know what getting older does to you, but I know I've just never loved the Bible so intently in my life. I can read for hours and dig into books and just different books of the Bible. I'm really right now reading everything that Paul wrote over and over, because I want every bit of it to get in my mind, in my heart, before I start on this this new book I'm working on. And it's just really thrilling. It's overwhelmingly thrilling. But let's read together Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know, don't miss a verse of this now, please. Not a word. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Could I read that verse again? Would you listen to me read that again? It is so powerful. And we know that all things, everything, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. 29. For whom he did foreknow, that means he knew them in advance. He did predestinate. That means he planned for them in advance. He both knew them and had a plan for them in advance, even before they were born, the Bible tells us. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, that he might make us into his image, that he might make us like himself. Isn't that beautiful? That the Lord wants you and I to be with him and like him and show forth the same great virtue. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, what truth that is. What truth that is. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Notice that A-L-L. For us all. That's everybody, isn't it? How many know that all means everybody? All means everybody. You got that? All means everybody. Let me read that whole verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I got to read another verse here. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. I got to read another one. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Wow. What beautiful scripture. What does anybody hear how great those scriptures are? Do you hear how beautiful these scriptures are? I want to preach this morning on God's sovereign grace. God's sovereign grace. Now, the word sovereign is often used by Calvinist people. And they mean by it that God has chosen some and God has rejected some. That and what they call that doctrine is limited atonement. That the atonement only applies to those whom God has ordained to be saved. And so God in his sovereignty has said you can be saved and you can't be saved. Well, I'm an enemy of that doctrine with all that's inside of me because I believe whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever, say that word with me, would you? Big old long word. Whosoever will. Say that again. Whosoever will, let him come. So I want to preach on God's sovereign grace, but I want to add a little bit to that. God's sovereign grace, your biography in advance. Now listen to me. How many know what a biography is? It's the story of somebody's life. It's the story of somebody's life. God has planned your biography in advance. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. God has a calling on you. God has a will for your life. I mean, God is not left in the dark when it comes to one of us. God knows what he has planned for our life. It's our biography, and he has planned it in advance. That's what sovereignty is. Sovereignty is not saying you can't be saved and you can be. Sovereign is saying everybody out there can be, and I got it planned for you. I've got it all schemed out for you. Oh, I like that, don't you? God's sovereign grace, your biography in advance. Father, help me preach this morning. I feel inadequate at the level of this sermon, and you must help me, God, to say the right things for your people, and not just for those in this building, but for those who hear us on the internet or on the YouTube or the different places that we are out there in social media. I pray, God, that nobody will hear this sermon that isn't moved by the will of God in their life. And I weep, God, as I prepared this sermon. I have wept, Father, for the multitude of people that don't know what they are missing because they are not giving themselves to the Christ who has planned their life so adequately and so beautifully. And I pray, God, that many, many may come to know the will of God in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Now pray as I preach this morning on God's sovereign grace. I really love those three words. God's sovereign grace. I want to tell you something. The God we know is a great God. The God we know is omniscient. He is omniscient. And he is omnipresent. He is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. We use those three old big words. They're big in people who think the logical truth. Omnipotent means he's all-powerful. And omniscient means he's all-knowing. And omnipresence means he's everywhere. So that God fills this universe with his presence. He knows everything about everybody in this universe. And he has the power to do everything that needs to be done and to meet every need. He is omnipotent. He's the almighty and the all-knowing and the all-present. Isn't that beautiful? What a God we serve. And as I was studying this morning and thinking about what I'm trying to say in this sermon, and I was thinking, how could God have chosen some people to be lost when he gave everybody a conscience to know right and wrong? Everybody has a conscience to know right and wrong. You can take the biggest old criminal who's the best liar in town, and you can put him under a lie detector test and start asking him questions, and you can tell when he's lying and when he's telling the truth. Now that's a sovereign, a wonderful thing to know that everybody has a conscience and everybody has an identity. Everybody's identity is different. Nobody has the same fingerprints. You've got 10 fingerprints on your body. If you have 10 fingers and every one of those print is different, and nobody else in the 7 billion people on the face of this earth has got one like it. That's 70 billion fingerprints in God's great economy of knowledge and God's great computer of wisdom, and he knows every one of them and he knows who they belong to. If that's not enough, then you can go to the iris of a person's eye. And every person's iris in their eye is distinct and different. And they're using that now to even let people into places of high security. They just walk up and look in the right little place and the door swings open because of the iris in their eye. So you've got the fingerprints, you've got the iris of the eye, you got the DNA, and you got the conscience, and you take all four of those matters and you give them to everybody, and then say that God knows them, God's got their fingerprints, but God says they're lost. No, no, no. Our God we serve knows you, and he loves you, and he cares about you, and nobody's excluded. Raise your hand if you love that. Nobody's excluded. You don't have one friend. You don't have one neighbor. You don't have one loved one. You don't have one son or daughter, grandson or daughter that has to go to hell. There's nobody excluded. Everybody is invited. That is exciting. And I love to preach it. Now, I want to tell you some things about this. Rather than being so biblically theological, I just want to talk about the practical side of it this morning. I want you to think about the practical side of God's sovereign grace and how God has planned your biography in advance. It's so wonderful to me. The first thing I want to tell you is, and I've already said it really, but God has a purpose in your life. You are important to God. You are important to God. Oh, there's very little self-esteem in most of this world today. The schools have taught it, but they don't know how to teach it right. They teach it as something you can manifest by your bulldog attitude. Oh, no, that's not how it comes about. It comes about by knowing the Creator. Hallelujah. You are important. You are special. You've been called for a divine reason. He has a plan for you. You, Almighty God, sitting up in heaven, knows the hairs on your head. He knows you. He loves you. You're important to him. Every one of you can say, I'm important to God. How about saying something with me? I'm somebody. Say that out loud, will you? I'm somebody. Well, you're somebody. With God, you're somebody. You're not an accident. You didn't just happen. Oh, you say my mother and daddy wasn't married, and I was born out of a wedlock, and so I'm not important. I'm sorry to tell you. No, I'm glad to tell you, friend. It don't matter how you was born, where you was born, what the circumstances of you was. You are important to God. I'll never forget the story I heard about a little orphan boy who went to school, and the kids all kidded him and harassed him about being an orphan. You don't belong to your mom and dad. You're just an orphan kid. They just took you in. And he was crying and weeping one day when he went home, and mama said, "What's wrong, son?" He said, "They called me an orphan kid." "Mama, what does that mean?" "They say I don't have a real mom and daddy." "What does that mean?" And mother told him how he had been chosen. How they'd walked into a home for children and looked up a line of boys and girls and saw him and said, "That's the one we want right over there." He said, "You go to school tomorrow and you tell those kids that when their mom and daddy got them, they had to take what they got. But you tell them my mom and daddy chose me out of a whole bunch. I am special because I was chosen for myself. They didn't just take me because I came from the womb. They took me because they saw me and chose me." I want to tell you something. I'm a child of the King this morning because the great King of glory chose me. He looked upon that little country place down in Bushy Fork, North Carolina. He saw this kid out there working in tobacco and pulling suckers and killing tobacco worms and hoeing and all the work that I was doing. And God somehow, I don't know why, I've never figured it out yet, but he said, "I want that one." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God chose me, and then Jesus saved me, and now I'm a new creature. Raise your hand and thank him if you know you've been chosen. Hallelujah. So you're special. You got to understand that you are not an accident. I don't care how you were born. You are not an accident. I wish we could get every person in the world to understand that. Oh, you are special to God. He has a reason for you. You are planned by God. You are planned. You are predestinated. That's the word he used. Sounds like a big old word, don't it? But it just simply means he planned you out. He planned everything about you. He planned your wife. He planned your husband. He planned your labor. He planned your calling. He planned your church. He planned everything for you to live. God had a plan for you. God had a will for you. That's why you're special, is because God predestinated you. Would you say that with me? I am predestinated of my Father. I am planned. Come on, anybody with me? Raise your hand and say it. I was predestined of my Creator. I was predestined of my Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. I am important. You may have made some bad mistakes. You may have been in places you shouldn't have been. You may have done things you shouldn't have done. I know I was, and I did, and I'm as guilty as the next man in town. But I want you to know he forgave me all of that and put me back on the right track. I was on the wrong track. I was going my own way, and God found me and put me back on his track, going his way. And what a difference. Woo, hallelujah. I don't know what somebody's shouting this morning. It's wonderful to know that God's put all my past behind me, and right now I'm on right track with God. Hallelujah. I'm doing what God's called me to do. Brother Dylan, God's called you to preach. I knew it. Well, he knew it probably before I did, but I said it before he would say it, but that's okay. Hallelujah. When God calls a person, it doesn't matter. Maybe you're a musician. Maybe you're a singer. Maybe you're a good carpenter. Maybe you're good at putting down linoleums. Well, there's a lot of people can do more than one thing, you know. If you use the first gift he gives you, he'll give you another. If you use two gifts, he'll give you the third. If you use three, he'll give you four. I mean, really, that's how God works. God multiplies those who will let him. He's got a big plan for you. I get so tired of so many people who live a scratchy life. They live a little bitty life. They can't seem to get to understand that God's bigger than that. God has some things for you and plans for you you don't even imagine yet. So give yourself to Him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you're planned by God. Your whole life is a God-appointed schedule. Your whole life is a God-appointed schedule. Now, I know everybody's not on that schedule. I know everybody's not doing what God's planned for them. I know that probably 90-some percent of people in our world are not doing what God planned for them. Most people are going their own bulldog way. They're doing their own will. They're walking like they please. They refuse to listen to anything and anybody. They're just independent soul. Well, in this life, there's no place for independence. You're not independent. You are dependent. Somebody put diapers on you when you were born. And if you live long enough, somebody will put diapers on you when you get old. That's just how life is. But I'm here to tell you, if you become dependent on God, He'll plan out your life. He'll take you to higher heights than you ever imagined. God's plan for every one of you are bigger than you ever imagined. Quit living a cheap life. Quit being negative and doubtful and fearful and apprehensive. Quit. The Bible says be careful for nothing. That word careful in that case means be anxious for nothing. Don't let things disturb you. Don't let things shake you up. Things are going wrong and I don't know what to do about it. We'll turn it over to God and then keep your hands off of it. And let God do it. Let God direct your life. Let God be in charge. Let God take you to where He wants to take you. Would somebody help me preach this morning? Oh, hallelujah. So your whole life is a God-appointed schedule. That is, unless you refuse it. If you've got any kind of independence in you, if you're stubborn and bullheaded right now, I hope God will help you to get rid of it. Just ask Him to forgive you. I've had to ask Him to forgive me for being stubborn 1,000 times. No more than that, Brother Marlon. I mean, I can tell you right now, God's had to deal with me tough at times. He's had to get right down where I live and take a hold of me by the nape of the neck and shake me. Have you ever been shaken by the Holy Ghost? If you haven't been, you need to be. There's nothing like God's discipline. There's nothing like God when He takes you to the woodshed. How many of you went to the woodshed when you were little? Some of you never seen a woodshed. We had a woodshed at my house. And when Dad took me to the woodshed, that meant He's going to tear my hide up. He really was. And I had quite a few of them. I've had Him to say, Dad, son, you go to that peach tree out yonder and you get me a good peach limb. And come back and bring it to me. And I'd go and get me a little spindly thing, you know, that would break on the first lick. And Dad would send me back. You go back, son. Now, you know that's no switch. Get me a good one. And I'd come back with it. And boy, could he leave some stripes. But they were good for me. They really were. I probably didn't. None of your business. But I probably didn't get all I needed. You know, I probably didn't. But thank God, my father is a disciplinarian. Did you hear me? My father is a disciplinarian. Now, you need to hear that. I want to see your hand about this. How many of you know your father is a disciplinarian? He wants to make some out of you. He wants to change you so you become great in his sight. He wants to really operate on you for His glory because He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. You are His now. He wants your life to be His. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a joy. What a joy. Now, Jesus Christ actually wants you. I mean, actually wants every one of you. Carlos, that's an overwhelming thing. Jesus wants Carlos in the middle of doing His will with your whole life on the altar. Jesus wants you, Stephanie, for His glory. I don't know all He's got planned for you, but you better make sure you find His plan. And don't plan one on your own. You said, man, I got this feeling. You just put that feeling on the altar for a few days. And let's see what God does with it. He'll show you. I learned a long time ago, if I get all excited about something real quick, like, and I say, hey, I'm going to do that. I learned that was usually the worst thing I could do. I learned a long time ago, when I get an idea, put it on the altar for a few days or a few weeks. See, I think with my mouth. You understand that? You hear me saying things sometimes. Well, my brother Chambers say that. I was just thinking, and it got in the oral sense, and I started saying it. You ever do that, Brother Dylan? Sometimes I just think with my mouth. Well, it's dangerous, but yet people will know you pretty good when you do that. You ask my little sweetheart wife. She knows. She's heard me say things. Dad, are you going crazy? No, honey. I'm just thinking. Will you please be nice to me? You know, because God has a plan, and I may think, but I got to put my thoughts on God, on the altar, and I got to wait on God. The Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Would you like to quote that with me? That's in the book of Romans, chapter 8. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Isn't that powerful? Has anybody ever heard that verse before? Have you memorized that verse? As many as are led. See, you got the Bible says, acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says, acknowledge the Lord. Ask him. Go to God. He said, don't even plan to go to town until you ask God if it's okay with him. I mean, that's the kind of God we serve. You say, is he that kind of dictator? No, it has nothing to do with dictator. It has to do with a God that cares about me. It's a God that protects me. It's a God that keeps me from the hard things of life. That keeps me from stumping my toe against a rock and busting my skull. Oh, he's a God that watches over me. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Now, I want to tell you something. The plan that God has for you is happiness and joy. When you are in the middle of God's will, you will be happy beyond measure. There's no happiness like the happiness of knowing I'm pleasing my Father. I'm living where he wants me to live. I'm doing his will. I'm serving him. It's wonderful, really. Yeah, God's plan is full of happiness. I want to say that again. God's plan is full of happiness. I don't know about you, but I love being happy. I love being happy. I love being happy. I wish more of you could feel that. I love being happy. Hallelujah. Now let me go a little further, because I want to say something here that's bigger than me. Here I am. Here I stand. I weigh 185, approximately, give or take 1 or 2 pounds. 185. My coats have to be 45 anymore. Size 45. You say, I don't look that big. Well, that's probably true. I may not, but that's what it takes anyway. I'm just a human being. I'm just one of you. That's all. But something bigger than that is I'm a temple. I'm not just a body. I'm a temple. Now, wait a minute. You haven't got that. I said, I am a church building. All right. Do you hear that one? I am a synagogue. That's the Jewish. I am a temple. I am a dwelling place. God created me to be a temple for himself. God created me so that he could put his Holy Ghost inside of me and dwell in me. Every one of you are temples. The Bible says that plainly. Go to 1 Corinthians and read those first 4 or 5 chapters, and you'll find him talking about you being a temple. Know you not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwell in you? If any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy. Have you read that? Know you not, you are a temple, you are a dwelling place, you're where God dwells. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I got to studying that earlier this week, and I shouted and shouted. I was in here by myself, and I was just having a good time shouting, because I am a temple of God. Hallelujah, his Holy Ghost dwells in me. That's that's why I talk in the heavenly languages once in a while, because the Father by the Holy Ghost dwells in this temple. This temple is not just mine to do what I please with. It's his to do what he pleases with. Yeah. Woo!
Hallelujah. I'm a temple of God. I'm a temple of God. I'm a house of God. I'm a place for God to dwell in, for God to reveal himself to. Hallelujah. I'm a temple. If you're a temple, throw your hand up real high. Why don't you stand up and say, I'm a temple. I'm a temple. I belong to God. His Holy Ghost dwells in me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are a temple this morning. You are a temple now. I want to tell you something. You're not just a temple, but God's third member of the triune Godhead. The third member of God's Trinity, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, and he's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at the same time because he's omnipresent. And this person lives in this temple that I am. That's why you see me shouting. You see me praising God. You see that I'm happy when everybody around me might be sad. I'm happy when things are not all going perfectly. I'm still happy because I know God's working it all out. You may be seated. God's working it all out for his glory and his good, because I am a temple. I am a dwelling place. God dwells in me. Now, somebody help me. Listen to me. Hallelujah. Now, take your two fingers like this with me, will you? One of them, I'll get the shorter one, is me doing my own autobiography. The middle one is God doing his biography. So either you're in a plan with God of him doing his biography, or you're doing your biography. How are you living? How are you conducting your life? How careful are you in your prayer life? How much time do you spend in your Bible? How much do you love the house of God? How much do you love these things of the great God, the great Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Are you living out God's divine order and plan? God's autobiography? Are you living your own biography? It's a choice. God don't make a robot out of nobody. God's not going to make you do nothing you don't want to do. God's not going to force nothing on you that you don't want him to force on you. He will not do it. He must have your will. He must have your invitation. I've said to God a long time ago, Holy Ghost, this is your vessel, and I want you to rule it. I want you to be the master of it, and I want you to direct it. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I've always been perfect. No, no, no. Joe Chambers has not been. I pray regular, repent almost daily in case something is there that shouldn't be. I don't feel any pride. I don't feel some haughty feeling. But I know this. I want God's biography in my life. I want a divine biography. I want God to work his will. I don't know when it's ready. If I'm alive today at 80, I'll tell you the one reason I'm alive is because I've been his for 64 years. I've done my best to take care of the physical because that's my responsibility. But he takes care of the spiritual because that's his responsibility. And when he has the spiritual in his hands and I'm careful to walk with him, there is no end to the good things he can do with my life. Hallelujah. Somebody says, you going to Turkey at 80? Absolutely. Why should I not? If God pleases, I want to do all and nothing but what pleases him. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ came to work his plan in me, and I'm giving him all I am. I got to do his will. I must give him my everything. And if I do, what have I got to fear? All things work together for good to them who are the called according to God's purpose. Because it first says love him, but then are the called according to God's purpose. You look at me now. If you love God with all of your heart, I'm not talking about no little penny ante love. I'm not talking about just loving him on Sunday morning between the hours of 11 and 12. I'm not talking about just loving him when there's a special need. I'm talking about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 24/7. You're falling in love with God, and you love him, and you want to please him, and you want to do his will, and he's the center of your life. Now, when that happens, and you become his, and you please him, and you obey him, you got to listen to me. The devil don't have a chance against you. Hallelujah. He cannot destroy you.
Oh, does anybody believe that? Sister Marilyn, you found out, didn't you? Hallelujah, you found out. Oh, I wish the world would hear this kind of preaching and make up their mind to get themselves in and stay in the middle of God's will. If you get out of God's will and you're careless about the things of God, I'm telling you, you're going to have a hard time keeping up with the problems and the difficulties, and you're not going to know how to handle them, and they'll just get worse as you get older. Oh, God teaches the way of the Lord, teaches the will of God. I'm here to tell you, when you do the will of God, you're going to have perfect victory in your life. Now, I got to take you and let you finish these texts. I want you to understand, who is he that condemneth you? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for you. When you are in the will of God, let me walk down here. I haven't been doing this. The cameras have to have a hard time keeping up with me. But listen to me. Listen to me carefully. When you are in the middle of doing God's will, you know what that verse I just read says? It says, he's making intercession for you to the Father. Jesus knows every one of you, and he's making intercession for you to the Father. And when old Stephen got in trouble, you remember old Stephen getting in trouble because he wouldn't quit witnessing for Jesus, and they finally stoned him to death. Remember, Apostle Paul was standing there holding the garments of them that stoned Stephen to death. You remember that? And it is my opinion that Apostle Paul never forgot watching that old saint of God being stoned to death. And he never forgot watching that old saint of God as he was dying. And he said, Lord, forgive him of these sins. And then into thy hands I commend my spirit. Well, he said before he said that, he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Now, don't you know Apostle Paul never forgot that? I believe when Apostle Paul got converted on the Damascus turnpike, it was partly because of what he saw that day old Stephen was stoned to death. Now, can you imagine when Paul gets to heaven and Stephen sees him, and old Stephen comes running and says, hey, I remember you holding the coat when I got stoned to death. You're the reason I came here. And Paul says, yeah, and you're the reason I came here, because I never got over seeing you stoned to death. Hallelujah. You see, when you live in obedience to God, everything that happens is ordered and cared for and watched over and protected by your Father. And nothing the devil designs against you can effectively stop you. Ah, I mean, just think of a world like ours today that's just gone nuts. I mean, it is one crazy world. I see it everywhere I go. I hear everybody talking about it. And I'm at perfect peace. I'm not always happy at everything I see. They grieve my heart, but I'm at peace. I know who's in charge of this life. I know who's watching over this life. I know whose I am and whom I serve, and I'm his. I'm his. Say it with all your heart. I'm his. I shall not be nobody else's. I belong to him. I don't belong to myself. Oh, but Brother Chambers, I've made some terrible mistakes. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward those things which are before. You made some mistake somewhere. You've done something you shouldn't have done. Don't let somebody wrap it around your neck and cut you down about it. No, sirree. You stand up and leave that life behind and go full force for God and his will, and do the things that bring him honor and the things that bring him glory. And remember, you are his, and he cares for you. He said, I will meet all of your needs according to my riches in glory. Does anybody know how rich heaven is? Hallelujah. Oh, somebody just worship him a minute, would you? Oh, Father, I'm so excited. I'm so grateful that I belong to you, that I'm not my own, that I don't belong to Joe Chambers, that I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He cares for every need of my life. His angels watch over me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As I bring this sermon to a conclusion, I wish you'd stand with me a moment. I want you to hear me this morning, and I don't want you to ever forget it. God has a plan for your life. Would everybody listen to me? Brother Aaron, thank you. It's so good having you part of us. Listen, every one of you, listen. Listen, saints of God. Listen, Brother Antonio. Antonio, listen to me. Listen, God has a plan for your life. You're not just an accident. Every one of you, he brought you. See, you could even be here this morning if God didn't know that in his plan. The hairs of your head are numbered. I mean, you can't even think a thought that God doesn't know your thoughts in advance. Did you know that's what the Bible says? We're talking about God's sovereign grace this morning. God's sovereign grace. God's sovereign grace. I am so excited to think that I have nothing to fear. There is no one that can stop me. Listen to me. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than overcomers by him or through him that loved us. Listen to that. Nay, in all these things, we are more than overcomers through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me and you or us from the love of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I could almost preach eternal security this morning, couldn't I? As far as God's concerned, I've got eternal security. The only person can hinder that is me and my disobedience if I turn away from him. But in him, I am protected. In him, I am cared for. In him, I am watched over. Hallelujah. Nay, in all these things, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Nothing. Now throw your hand up and tell him how much you love him. I love you, Jesus, with all of my heart. I love your plan and your mind and your will, and I'm yours. Everything about me is yours. I don't belong to Joe Chambers. I belong to Jesus. And Jesus wants nothing for Joe Chambers but the best that Joe Chambers could ever have. Can you imagine if I would have chose my own wife? What a mistake I would have made. But God chose my Juanita. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. How many times have I thanked him? How many times? Hallelujah. Not just love on him. Oh, Father, we're here to love on you this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nothing we're dealing with that you don't know about. There's nothing going on in anybody's life in this building that you don't know about. Now listen, Holy Ghost, help us. Keep your eyes closed a minute. Just wait on God. I want to take a moment because there's somebody here. God's been dealing with you. God's been speaking to you. God's been dealing with your life. And it's time for you to obey him. It's time for you to throw both hands up and say, now is the time, Lord. I'm yours from this hour. I will argue no further. I'm yours. Anybody want to do that? I'm yours, Lord. Say it out loud. Somebody else say it. I'll do your will, Lord. I'll please you, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. I'll count for you, God. Oh, but Brother Chambers, what about tomorrow? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll never forget that song as long as I live. Terry had not yet been born. Mom and I went to the church in Greensboro. Oh, what was the name of that church back then? Started with a P. Pandora or something. Anyhow, it was a good church. And Brother Hart pastored there. Brother and Sister Hart. Never forget it. She sung that night. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And it affected my life. I've never forgot it. Terry was yet unborn. This is 50 years ago. But that one song, I don't know who holds tomorrow.
I mean, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. How many can say that with me? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm willing to trust the one who holds my tomorrow. Hallelujah. It's going to be all right because God's going to take care of me. Oh, just love on him now a minute. Hallelujah. Sister Yvette, I hope we can sing that song here in the near future, okay? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Heads are bowed now, Father. Hallelujah. Help somebody in this building to turn themselves loose to you and become a vessel for God's business. A vessel for God to use. A vessel for God to show his glory. A vessel for God to make manifest his righteousness. I don't know what you may have for any one person. I know in some cases what I feel, but God, you know in every case exactly what's right. Have your way, Lord. I would like to ask everybody in this building to step out of your seat, and we won't pray long unless you desire to pray long, but come to this altar and let's stand here and give our future to God. Let's turn ourselves over to him, to please him in every way possible. And that we'll be sensitive, we'll pray God's will be done, and we'll listen as God talks to us. Come quickly. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Make yourself at home. Hallelujah. If you're a visitor, you are just as welcome as you can be. Now lift your hands and let's talk to God. Father, I give you Joe Chambers. I can't decide, nor do I want to decide the future of others. I can help and I can guide. I'm a shepherd. I'm a pastor. But Father, I want your will. I want my words to be your will. I want my thoughts to be your will. I want to walk in your perfection. I want to do what pleases you, Lord. Father, I want to put my will on the altar this morning and declare it crucified. Would you join me? I want to put my will on the altar again this morning. I've done it many times, God, but I find me having to do it regular. I put my will on the altar and I want it crucified.
Oh, I know you're someplace better than what I can imagine, but I can't help the way I miss you so. If I have to knock on every mansion door, walk miles of golden streets, search among a million saints that rest at Jesus' feet, I will run along Jasper walls, call your name upon the wind. I will find you again. I would never be so selfish as to pray